Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. You know, I'm trying to avoid having the Friday talks be only a Devar Torah, which is nice and all that, and we have room for that. We'll do tomorrow. There'll be Torah study at shul, and there'll be all kinds of different Torah. But I was thinking about when we focus on the parsha, which is always very good to do because it keeps us in sync with what's going on in the Jewish world, where everybody's reading the same portion every week. And this particular Shabbat is Parsha Vayera, and it's jam-packed with everything that is with the story of Abraham, the story of the Annunciation of Isaac, the story of the three visitors, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the story of the, it goes on and on, the expulsion of Hagar and Ishmael, and then of course the most perhaps dramatic story in all of the Torah, the binding of Isaac, which of course ends this parsha, and it's what we just read recently at the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and the Hagar story on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about, maybe I shouldn't have done as much thinking, as done a little more feeling, but what is the place of obedience? Obedience, because I mean the great, I don't want to get into the philosophical issues around the offering up of Isaac. Of course, remember the end of the story is that he's not all offered up, but still this idea of this testing of obedience. Now there are many benefits of obedience. It protects us from danger and harm. It increases trust and stability in relationships. It leads success and prosperity, improving discipline, self-control, fostering personal growth and wisdom, and following rules and authority can prevent many negative consequences in our lives and lead to greater rewards. So there's a certain kind of value given in our traditions, Western traditions, Eastern traditions, about obedience. But the point is, the question is, where is this, who are we obeying and what are we obeying? That's really one of the questions that the story of Isaac brought to me and my mind. And there are different kinds, as I say, of obedience. And we know that it's in our tradition, eventually in the Jewish tradition, obedience becomes the highest form of worship, in a sense. And Abraham is presented by many, not all, but by many as as someone who has passed the test of being able to obey something that goes beyond all moral, if you will, considerations. And I won't get involved in Kant and his idea of the moral imperative and Abraham's basically, as Kierkegaard said, was a suspension of the ethical in order to do something far greater. So I'm not against obedience. I'm not very good at that occasionally myself, but I wonder what fascinated me and perhaps connects to our practice more, which has always been hard to always find that connection to our practice, which I look for every week, is where does this obedience come from? Is it basically out of fear of retribution, fear of punishment? Or does obedience come out of a deeper sense of being who the best we can be? Is it coming from the inside out, or is it from the outside in? Is it a idea of that we give up our autonomy, or is it that we don't give up our autonomy when we obey? Or is obeying or obedience something that derives from our own introspection, from deep within? So an example I give, and I'm going to open up for conversation in a moment, but an example I've given of how my practice has informed me over the years and informed my sense of what the Jewish tradition is that it would be far better for many. Better as a judgment. Let me get away from that. It would be obvious to us when people observe norms with a sense of a deeper internal imperative to do so, that we for instance, in the case of mitzvot, ritual obligations and other social obligations that the Torah gives us, is the authority for it coming from above, from outside of us, right? Or is it coming from a deeper sense within us? Meaning that the imperative to do X, Y, and Z, it doesn't derive from external, if you will, rewards or punishments, but from a deeper sense of how we can develop our own sense of being and connection. So, for instance, a mitzvah, yes, it may say something in the book that we should observe the Sabbath, right? It's there in a book and related to God and all that. But the bottom line, should my observance of the Shabbos basically, wouldn't it be more fulfilling if it came out of a sense from within us that, boy, do I need Shabbos, rather than saying, well, I'm obeying a quote-unquote commandment. And of course, this leads to all kinds of slippery and sliding you could do in all kinds of ways, because you can then say, well, sometimes I feel this way, next time I feel another way, understandably so. But we have a saying that the prophet Shmuel tells King Saul, that in a very bloody episode, I don't go on about the Amalekites, is that he says that God values obeying or obedience to mitzvot more than performing rituals like sacrifices. So in a sense, this idea that obedience if you will, something to strive for beyond trying to basically offer up rituals, etc. So I struggle with all of this all the time, which is really one of the better ways of living one's life, I guess, struggling with things. And I wanted to put out for us, our discussion today, is what values, what have we derived in our own experiences by doing a practice that basically says, let's see how things arise. Let's not judge things in advance. Let's not be told how we are to react or what we react with, basically falling back on our own senses, falling back on our own observations of the way things are by sitting quietly. What does that give us an impetus for obeying these internal, if you will, prerogatives, imperatives, however you want to call them? So it's certainly in the Abraham story, it's very complicated. One of the nicer interpretations I've read recently is that Abraham is testing God rather than God testing Abraham. And it's a very complicated story, obviously, and there are so many thousands of years of interpretation of it. But this idea that obedience in some ways is a two-way street when you're talking about God, in a way too. Does the deity have to obey or not? What is a trusting relationship based on? Well, if it's based on obedience to a certain degree, you would assume it's a two-sided thing, both God. So does Abraham know that eventually he will not be offering up his son? Doesn't he know? Why does he think that it is God's word when it obviously it is not? What is the role of Isaac? It's a very confusing thing. But clearly, our tradition and Christian tradition, Muslim tradition, all have sort of elevated Abraham as Kierkegaard once called him, the great knight of faith. And it's a problematic thing. So where does our obeying and can be seen as a very important. I mean, certain things you can't, you obey for our own sake, right? You obey traffic lights, you obey all kinds of things, which we don't leave to our own prerogative. People will actually, we've created a structure where we will be somehow punished for not obeying. We'll get a ticket. We've granted to society this idea that there are certain things that have to be obeyed, and if not, there will be penalties for them. So I know it's confusing. I'm confused. And as I say, as I get older and older and more involved in our practice, I realize that confusion is probably the state of mind that many of us are in. And it's not a bad place to be. I'll tell you why. It's not a bad place to be, confusion, because confusion ultimately, I like the idea of the word confusion. It's bringing together, right? It's an interesting term, right? It's bringing together, and in bringing together, there's often conflict. In bringing together things, there's often things that don't fit. And that's bewildering. We don't want to be bewildered, you know? It's bewildering. How come I put these things together? It doesn't really fit. You know, it's like, you know, is there something wrong with my perception? Or is there really something wrong with the fact that things don't always fit together? And we have to face that reality that things don't always fit together. And that can be very offering a great deal of consternation to people. But if you sit back and you observe that confusion which you have within yourself, I'm not saying you will placate all of those issues that you have, but it will give you a sense of the fact that it's not so bad to be confused. It's not so bad, I offer this up as a little tidbit to get the conversation going. But that was really one of the things that really hit me, is that how in for instance, in Eastern traditions, Buddhism, there is no sense of God, so there is no sense of obedience. And yet, if you go into some of the Buddhist teachings that I've got into, certainly monks have codes of obedience, that's for sure. The question is, do lay people have it or not? And yes, there is there too. And what motivates that is not the command of a deity. What motivates them is, one, all those advantages I talked about. Creating society, creating a way of order, creating, right, in the best sense of the word. Of course, you have to have civil disobedience as well when things are not exactly fair or open or just. But still, this idea that the obedience that comes in the Eastern traditions, as I try to learn a little bit about it more, is derived from this sense of what we get by sitting and observing, that it really flows from an internal place rather than an external place. Even though there's a lot of authority issues in Eastern religions too, let's not, I don't romanticize it. There are certain rules that people follow, and if they're not following them, there are penalties as well. So I leave that to you. And I'd love to hear your impressions of my confusion. And maybe you can share some of yours. And by doing so, we'll be able to confuse all of our thinking and maybe get a glimpse of a bright light. Thank you.